Sometimes we can come in and get really serious in God. And sometimes the Holy Spirit works in a bit of joy, you know, in a bit of fun. I remember Dennis saying that there are Christians who walk around like they've been baptized in vinegar, you know, with contorted faces. And it's true. We should be, according to Paul, the most joyous people. Absolutely. We should be the most joyous people on this planet. Regardless of what we're going through, we go through stuff every day. Paul writes somewhere else that God grants us the struggles. They're a gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that struggle. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your spirit to overcome that struggle. Who has got a struggle that they haven't yet overcome? Yeah? God's going to grant you that victory. You see, when the disciples went to wait in the upper room, they had to wait until the Pentecost had come in the fullness of the day. And they waited there for 10 days. And when they went in there, they didn't know how long they were going to wait. If they were like me, I would have expected the Holy Spirit to come that afternoon. And so 24 hours, tick-tock, 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 still nothing. Tick-tock, 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 still nothing. Nothing shifting. Tick-tock, 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 tick. Still, nothing is shifting. You ever had those times in your life? And you're just waiting upon the Lord. And somebody really wise comes up and says, you just need to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Still nothing after the fourth day. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Fifth day, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they hadn't moved outside the room. It's a powerful thought, isn't it? 10 days. And on the 10th day, we know the rest. A powerful sound from heaven came in. All those curtains bloat, or do you think it was more like the Flintstones houses with no curtains? But it says the windows blew. People say, you know, they say the Holy Spirit a dove. You know, I had real struggle sketching that on there because I just felt I couldn't draw him as a dove. He's not a dove. They couldn't describe what they saw when he descended on Jesus at the baptism. The only thing they could liken him to was a dove. So they put him as a dove, and I just feel it's a real grievance sometimes. He's not a dove. He was so beautiful, so illuminating. They couldn't describe what they saw, so they said he was like a dove. That's the only thing. He came down. He was just gentle. And he alights on us, and we don't even know it sometimes. And sometimes he goes, and we don't even know it. Yeah. So what was the effect of him coming and what did they do? So I really believe this. I believe like we're in the days and when you speak like this, it really gets on people's wick because it's challenging. I love to revel in the Holy Ghost. I love it. And you know, sometimes, I think I've said it before, as you're walking along with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sometimes you feel closer to the Father. Sometimes you have more of a conversation with the Son. At this moment in my life, I can't get enough of the Holy Spirit. I just tell him all the time, I just love you so much. You're the most amazing person I've ever met. Stunning. And he does so much for us, doesn't he? And in us. Think of everything that the Holy Spirit does in us. Think of everything he does for us. And the church got itself into a mess and sort of kicked him out the church, put him in a little side room. And they started teaching theology instead of receiving revelation. They started doing counseling rather than deliverance. Why? Because it's a little bit more prettier and a little bit more dignified. And if you're struggling with a demon, don't deal with it in the house in front of people. What we'd like you to do is to go to a nice little room over there so it doesn't embarrass people. And we don't really want to see the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God demonstrate before our eyes. So what we'd like you to do is to be carried off into a little room and deal with it there. And I don't know about you, but there was never once in my life have I ever read a scripture that said Jesus took a person to the side in a quiet place and dealt with the demonic or dealt with a healing in a quiet room. And the scriptures tell us there were times where he screamed at the demon to get out. And the demon got out. And it says that the demon screamed. I don't know how they sounded. I've got a good idea. I've seen a few. But they screamed at him, didn't they? I've never had one scream at me and say, "You're Nick, the Son of God. You're Nick, the man of God." But they screamed at Jesus. "You're the Son of God. What are you doing here at this time? Are you here to send us to our torment? Please don't." And you can imagine the screaming that was going on. The deliverance that came. But look at the effect that the boy who was locked in a graveyard for so many years, scratching and tearing himself, was set free. Hallelujah. And so this is my thing in life, that to always press into the supernatural, not because I want to see fireworks, but because I want to see people set free. And I don't like tidy little prayers that tuck it away. You know, that's what we like to do, tuck the stuff away so no one has to look. Tuck it away so we can look all right. And we walk out of church the same way we walked in. And we sing, "Holy Spirit, we love you. Come, Holy Spirit." And we walk out exactly the same, with the same grievance, the same unforgiveness, the same demons, the same history affecting us today. And on Pentecost Sunday, there were 3,000 people who had their lives changed in one day. One day, 3,000. Because of the Holy Spirit working in the believers. So if the Holy Spirit can transform 3,000 people from eternal death to eternal life, why is it we struggle to believe that he can't begin to move in here now and begin to break some lifelong shackles off our lives? Because he can. And he will. If we're happy for him to do that. But God's so good, isn't he? He gives us a free will. And so, how many people, I won't ask you to put your hands up because this isn't embarrassing. How many people have raised the dead in here? Has anybody in here ever seen with their own eyes the dead raised to life? Because the bar of expectation is set by Jesus that we should do greater works than he. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, pray for the blind and the deaf, see people delivered of demons, and what else? Raise the dead. How many people in here have actually practiced what Jesus commanded about taking his message to the lost? How many people have practiced going onto the street and seeing Marge struggle along the road with a limp and go up and pray for her? Our bar without the Holy Spirit is here. And oftentimes church doesn't even know what it means to be filled with him. Because being filled isn't just like the fuzz of it. It then gives you the confidence and the power to go and do what Jesus did. That's what his presence does. How effective are we in our ministry and fellowship of the Holy Spirit? If we, as a fellowship, went and did what Jesus commanded us to do, and we really took that serious, we could transform this area in probably a week. Anybody struggling to believe that? So if you don't struggle to believe it and you know it's true, what do you think is the reason why our expectation is so down here? But Jesus said, walk in step with the Spirit, which is always heaven bound. How many people in here have ever been transported in time like Philip with the Ethiopian? I remember saying this to the Lord. And don't ever pray if you don't really want him to do it, right? I remember this. I remember taking that word in my hand and saying to God, I don't want to have a wish you were here faith. Do you remember the holiday program, Wish You Were Here? And I remember sitting on my sofa and these people were in all sorts of exotic places. And the program was called Wish You Was Here. And I thought to myself, why am I sitting watching other people in an exotic place stuck in my council flat? It didn't make sense. And in the same way, I don't want to wish you were here. Walk with the Lord. I remember saying to the Lord, what I see on those pages, I want to live out. I want to live it out. So, Lord, do what you need to do, which is a scary prayer, when you was a wreck like me. Do what you need to do. Bring me to a place where I'm walking with you every day. Help me to see salvations. Help me to see healings. Help me to see people delivered. The church doesn't want to deal with deliverance these days. Too messy. Too much like hard work. Bone idol Christians. That's what the nation's full of. Praise the Lord, they're sending the Africans who are full of praise and full of zeal for the Lord. Praise God, they're sending the Brazilians to us, that they're beginning to affect our walk with him. Britain isn't broken because of politicians. It's broken because we've turned our back on Jesus. And every time we pray, Lord, give us revival, we have to start with, Lord, revive me. Raise my expectations. Help me to start walking like Paul. Help me to start walking like Deborah. Help me to start walking like the apostles. Help me to start believing like the apostles. And help me to be willing to lay my life down like them if and when the time comes. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for. I know some people come in here for a jiggy-jiggy this morning and a great thing, but the thing is this, that the fundamental message of the Holy Spirit is that he comes to help us take the message out to the lost. That's what he comes to do. And then you live off your own testimony with him as well. What has he delivered you from? So I say to myself, Lord, if you can take me off heroin, and if you can give me a home when I was homeless, I know that you can affect lives through me. That's why you've kept me alive. And that's why you're alive today, because he hasn't finished with you. He wants you to have more and receive more of the Spirit so that you can take the message out. Hallelujah. There are so many things going on in the church of distraction at the moment. So many things taking life up. And we struggle just to keep focused, to keep the message going out. Waking up every day, say, Lord, who is it you want me to speak to today? Who is it, Lord? Who is it, as Mickner says, do you want me to preach the gospel to today? This isn't to make people feel guilty. It's to raise expectations. Does that make sense? It's not to go, oh, you're not doing do-do-do. But it's actually break that unbelief off your life and off your mind and off your heart. And live for the Lord. And that's what Holy Spirit was all about. And what he's still about today. So when Paul says, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep being filled. Every day. It doesn't take long, you know, to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It takes a moment out of your day, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm just shadow without you. That's all I am. So fill me afresh today. You might like to be on fire in him, like me, or you might just be like a warm breeze on a summer's day, affecting lives. What else did he come to do?
Comfort.
Came to comfort. Came to produce fruit in us, allowing the Holy Spirit to work. In our lives, allowing him to get in the nooks and crannies of our life and allowing him to produce the fruit. Jesus said the Father has two operations. He cuts and he prunes. And that's all he does. He cuts off the branch that doesn't bear fruit and he prunes the branch that does, that it would bear more fruit. And oftentimes you find yourself, you're just like, oh, I'm doing really well in that area. And suddenly, the cutters come out. You're like, what's going on, Lord? Holy Spirit, come and empower your people. Come and empower them to live for you, to be single-minded. And I include myself in that, Lord. I'm not saying them, I mean us, Lord. Include us all, Lord. Help us to be single-minded for you, Lord. Like a horse with blinkers, not turning to the left or the right. Just keeping mind like flint upon the Lord and his purposes. That when we come before him, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your crown. Some people will get more than one crown. Some people will get several crowns. And we'll cast them all at his feet and say we're not worthy when we'll see him. But won't it be lovely to have something to give back? Yeah. They reward you for. There's a crown for those who win the lost. There's a crown of life. Various crowns. The age of the church is over, almost. This dispensation of time is almost over. We don't have much time. So we got to run with fire, like the wind, to reach the lost, to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living before the clock strikes 12 and darkness comes. Jesus said, if you're running for me, he said, you're only going to be able to do the work while it's light. When it's dark, you won't be able to do anything. So do it whilst it's light. And we at the moment are in broad daylight with the opportunities. Some people in other countries, they're in midnight hour. They can't say anything. Iran, Pakistan, Islamic countries, they can't say a word. And we have a privilege here. How long it'll last, I don't know. But we have a privilege to share the gospel And you know, in the days of Rees Howells, wasn't it, that, you know, if you read his book, Rees Howells, The Intercessor, it talks about the German planes, the Luftwaffe flying over to bomb Britain to hell. And everybody ran to their air raid shelters. But there was a man in Wales who believed on God, and he stood up in that hour and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, "Oh Lord, save this nation, Lord." And then they heard those planes turn round and go back. I remember in 2007, listen to this. I remember in 2007, and I've been invited onto this committee for the World Prayer Centre in Birmingham with Ian Cole. And he had a prophetic word. And the word was this: sound a trumpet because the enemy has entered the land. And no one would listen. At the NEC, they struggled to fill a hall with 15,000 people. Why all the Christians and the church were out enjoying themselves at conferences and everything, the enemy was entering in. And we now live in the consequences of the church not hearing the call. And we cannot fight this battle without the Holy Spirit. That is my point. We cannot. I've spoke to Christians. I say, what's your main purpose in life? Oh, to love and to be kind. Okay. Well, the Hindus and the Muslims, they're very kind. They're really generous. You go to a mosque, you go to a temple, they'll feed you every day of the week, more noon and night. They're more generous than Christians. They'll feed you all the time. So we don't have the monopoly on kindness. But the church is called to be wealthy, the head and not the tail. So we know that a lot of Islamic countries are very rich and money speaks. And many things have been brought. So we don't have the monopoly on finance. I'll tell you this, we don't have the monopoly on any structure in this world. Nothing. But what we do have the monopoly on is something and someone that no one else has. The Holy Spirit. He's our monopoly.
Amen. Amen.
It's true. And when we begin to use the leverage of what we do have the monopoly on, we're going to see this nation saved.
Hallelujah.
We are. Sadly, the church has been silent. The archbishops are in bed with the LGBTQ, yeah, with the Freemasons, yeah, with whoever else. And it takes someone like a working class man who has to rename himself Tommy Robinson to begin to declare truths of what he sees, because the enemy has entered the land. And the enemy is colorblind. He doesn't care whether you're black or white. He doesn't. And you shouldn't be bothered by this talk, by the way, because we are in a war. The day we got saved, we were called to war. What's the song say? They say, "I fight my battles." This is a, it might look like I'm surrounded, like a hornet's nest around me. This is where I fight my battles. So we must not forget that we're in a battle. We don't engage in the sense in politics as some people do, although it's important that you have your say. You must be like, I don't know, I nearly said something then. You mustn't be like foolish. You must engage in politics. There are so many young people who have had enough of politics, yeah, because they're just no good. But you've got to engage in it, because still, if you don't say anything and don't vote, those people who you probably don't like will still have say over your life. So you must go and you must vote as the Spirit leads. Engage. Hallelujah. And never before, as Winston Churchill said, in the field of conflict, has this nation relied on so few. And do you know who the few are? And me and the you and the you and the you and the you. We are the church. And as this gets darker and we're filled with the Spirit, our light's going to shine brighter and people are going to come flooding to the light because of the darkness that's around. And we can't use our own light. And we can't, our own light's like going down the plug hole. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the light, refreshes us, replenishes us, brings us to life, gives us power to move in the supernatural, to go and see the people saved, the people healed, and the people set free. As one man said, the last, the lost, and the least. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we recognize, like the disciples did in that room, that we haven't got a thing. We literally have nothing that is of any use in the battle that we face and the walk that we must do and the run that we must race to get over that line. And so, Holy Spirit, we come to you afresh today, Lord. And we say, Holy Spirit, would you come, Lord? Would you come like a refreshing wind? Would you come and just blow over our lives afresh today and empower us to preach the gospel, to declare salvation, to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living, to see the lost one. That, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you challenge us? When was the last time you led someone to the Lord? And it's not about condemning, it's about when was the last time you reached out to someone, pushed past the embarrassment, remembered when you was lost, and told them about the glory of God in your life. Holy Spirit, would you come in power? Would you operate on us? Remove the things off us, the shackles, the chains? And would you begin to pour out in us afresh today, Lord? Give us a fresh, another Pentecost, Lord, today. The Lord, we wait upon you and we're asking you, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us? Fill us afresh. Bring us personal revival. Wash away the disappointments. Wash away the regrets. Wash away the pain of the history, Lord, and help us to look forward. Help us to be forward-looking people, Lord. Oh, Lord, we call upon your name. Jesus, do you want to stand to your feet, church? Hallelujah. I think the traditional thing, as far as I know, is that on Pentecost Day, you have a time of ministry. And we're going to do that. But what I'm going to ask is, you know, you may have personal stuff going on. So we can pray for that every week and every day of the week. We've got loads of opportunity. But if this morning you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm not as flowing as I used to be. I'm feeling a bit dry. I've just lost the edge to my life, and I want to become more of a witness for you, Lord. But I'm so scared, or I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to start. That yes, you can receive teaching in the church, but the primary thing is that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a transformation for the apostles, and it's a transformation for you. The Holy Spirit. Joe, can you put this? Is there a song? What songs we got on?